Hello and welcome to Cooper and Carey Have Words. My name is James Carey. I live here in the southwest of England in the United Kingdom, and over there, as usual, is Barry Cooper. Hello to you, Barry.
Hello, James. Lovely to hear your voice. We are half expecting weird things to happen during this episode because we are about to delve into something which is deep and very strange. I think it's fair to say that it's been on both our radars for a few months. We've been sort of thinking about it and processing it, and there's been much chat on the Discord server. What is the subject that we are once again attempting to run at with foolhardy confidence this time?
Well, you say that, but I arguably I've never been more prepared for an episode in my life. We're talking about UFOs in old money and UAPs in new money. UAPs are unexplained aerial phenomena. Or
unidentified, yes.
Which you say, so you can admit that you've seen a UAP without saying that you're crazy. If you see a UFO, that means you're crazy. But if you've seen a UAP, that's fine now. That's a very recent term, because this whole subject feels like it's really come back.
And I guess if you're a serious scientist, it doesn't do to associate yourself with UFOs. I think that sort of is rather discrediting. However, UAPs, unidentified or autonomous, sometimes phenomena or anomalous phenomena. Every time I hear the word phenomena, I just want to go, no. I'm going to resist the urge as we go through the episode.
Me too.
When you do, when you know, if you're a serious scientist, you can talk about UAPs. And apparently, you know, people at very high, at a very high level, James, are talking about this now, aren't they?
It really is.
It's been happening at the level of Congress, where evidence is being presented of these UAPs. And of course, you may have gone online and seen the footage taken from the cockpit of very expensive fighter craft piloted by very, very experienced pilots, seeing things which are captured on film, which they just cannot explain per the laws of physics, things moving at bizarre angles at incredible speeds with kind of shapes that seem to morph unexpectedly. So they just don't know what these things are. And for a long time, of course, I guess we'll get into this in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but for a long time, this was something that the government denied was a thing. But now, because of Freedom of Information Acts and that kind of thing, and whistleblowers, it seems to now be just accepted. Yep, hands up. These things. This has been happening for many decades now.
Yeah.
We have documentary proof of it. We just don't know what it actually is. Why do you think? Why talk about this? Why is this? Why should we care about this as Christians? Why is this a thing?
Well, for me, I think I'm always interested in things that people are oddly reluctant to talk about because I want to know why. And so, obviously, yeah. I think Christians particularly don't like talking about it because it makes them sound weird, and they only want to be weird about the gospel, and they want to sort of fit in with the general narrative on lots of other things, I think. So maybe
sometimes they don't even want to be sometimes they don't even want to be weird about the gospel, right?
Yeah.
There's supernatural elements about, you know, evil spirits and so on in the gospels. I think there is a real reticence to talk about those things and to preach about those things.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a sort of do you think we've been infected by the sort of the scientism of the age, that we want to be thought of as credible, and therefore we don't want to be talking about things that might go bump in the night?
Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe, because previously this has always been bundled with the paranormal and ghosts and a whole load of other things, which for me, for a long time, was quite a puzzling thing, because surely aliens coming from other planets, what's that got to do with seeing a ghost? I mean, there's no obvious link there. And I think that was still, I think in the 90s with the X-Files and those sorts of things, there was always this sense that aliens were among us, they've come from other planets, and there was that sort of narrative of green men and those sorts of things. But actually, as it's come back and I've looked a lot more into it, and as I say, I've watched and read and listened to so many things about this, is it does seem to be a spiritual thing. And it now seems like to say that it is only a scientific thing, it is only a biological thing, these are overly developed biological entities from other planets, I don't actually think that's a particularly popular view within the UFO community.
No. And I think that's why they've been renamed UAPs, because UFOs rather suggests it's sort of aliens from another galaxy.
Yeah.
Whereas UAPs better encapsulates the kind of phenomena that's being observed, which is that it's just kind of weird. And therefore it doesn't really fit into that neat box of, oh yeah, that's clearly a craft from another planet. That these entities, beings, yeah, whatever you want to call it, I've noticed started being described by high level folks in the government as transdimensional beings.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first points where I thought, oh, maybe I'm now starting to see how this does connect with the spiritual.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a non-spiritual person's way of describing a spiritual phenomena.
Yeah, so I find that association fascinating, because in a way, the UFO sort of thing implies that there are alien spacecraft, or there are things that come out of them, there are people, there are... and then, of course, there's alien abductions, which is particularly... X-Files thing, which really, really went far down that rabbit hole, that literally hundreds of thousands of people have said that they've had experiences. And so the UAP thing it's not just lights in the sky. And I think that's one thing that there's a lot of talk about, lights in the sky. And that's what essentially, there's an awful lot of stuff on the Curse of Skinwalker Ranch, which is quite a high profile History Channel. What this has to do with history, I simply do not know. A History Channel show. Where there's a lot of stuff, you know, and they've got images of strange lights in the sky. Mm-hmm. And when you were saying earlier about lights in the sky, I mean, this has been going back since World War II. The expression Foo Fighters, the band The Foo Fighters, are named after incredibly fast-moving lights in the sky seen by World War II pilots.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, it goes back even further. You can look at a Wikipedia page which documents, you know, this kind of phenomena happening, and you can see it goes actually right the way back, even into sort of, you know, Mesopotamian culture and so on.
Yeah. So one of the books I read on this subject, and I heard her on, you know, we're going to talk about a whole load of other podcasts on this sort of thing. D.W. Pazulka, who was a professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina, she wrote a book called American Cosmic. And she was brought up as a Christian. I think she's returned to faith, I think more in a Catholic faith. And actually, as she's looked back, she's looked at medieval accounts of various stories of things being seen in the sky as being seen as omens or blessings or angels, angelic beings or whatever, and says there are some real similarities there. And so we mustn't be naive about what this is.
Maybe we should get into, before we leave the, why talk about this, you're asking a question about the X-Files. What would you think things are, this is different, what we're seeing here from the 1990s or?
Yeah, so there was a big sort of Roswell incident kind of obsession in the 90s, wasn't there? Where suddenly everyone was re-examining a whole load of stuff.
Right.
And that was where the American military apparently had aliens in captivity. And this, of course, has come out more recently somebody has testified to the Senate or the Congress or whatever. I don't quite know what, some kind of hearing. Not firsthand, but this person says, oh, I've spoken to 30, 40 people who can say that the US military. And so there's always been this link between particularly the American government and this phenomenon, even though this sort of thing happens all around the world. And I think that's maybe why I've always been a bit uncomfortable that beings from another planet have only made contact with governments, but also the one government in particular, but not others, but maybe it has. And I think there's a quite an American-centric view of this whole phenomenon, which I think is probably not very helpful.
It's interesting, isn't it? It seems as if the most sightings are reported in the US, closely followed, I think, by the UK and then Canada. But it's obviously that sort of Western English speaking phenomena, which is intriguing, and I think might have something to say about what this is.
But that's just reported phenomena as well, though, isn't it? Because it may be that in other countries, people see lights in the sky and they go, oh, there's moving lights in the sky. They're not stars. Yeah. I don't know what they are. They're probably angelic beings of some sort. And I don't much like them. I feel they're uncomfortable. You know, so I know people who've seen lights in the sky that they would say were UAPs. You know, they saw them literally move around. One of them said they felt like they were being observed and it made them feel extremely uncomfortable. It wasn't just watching something weird. It felt like something was watching them. And so loads and loads of people see these things and they don't report it because they can't be bothered. In America, there is a big culture of this thing. So there's probably at least five different organizations you can report this stuff to. But if you're seeing this in Ecuador or Lesotho or Indonesia, I mean, you're not going to phone the government or go online and report it, are you? So I think the reported cases thing is probably a little bit skewed as well.
Yeah, maybe. Although, again, perhaps, you know, the reason the US government has taken such an interest in it, of course, is the implied threat to national security.
Go on.
So there is, when you spend as much money as the US do every year on protecting its territory, and then suddenly you've just got stuff appearing willy-nilly in the sky and you don't know what it is. Like, is it like something from China? Is this some sort of advanced tech that we need to get on board with sharpish before we all get taken out? There's a lot of that kind of thinking. And of course, that is one of the possible explanations, that this is, you know, just tech which is advanced that might, you know, possibly be from some sort of, you know, hostile earthly power. I think some of the sightings can, you know, there's obviously been weather balloons and so on, which is a famous explanation of this kind of stuff. But other stuff just doesn't seem to fit into that category at all. But even if it isn't from an earthly power and it is from beyond, that's still a threat to US, the US. And so you can understand why they would take an interest in it, I suppose. What other sort of explanations could there be, do you think? Apart from the one which I think you and I are probably going to land on, what other sort of suggestions have there been about this?
Well, I think the overall skeptical view is the one that is just not coherent. I think this idea that everyone's making it up and it's clearly just a weather balloon, it's Venus, it's just like... Well, no, because
swamp gas.
And it's like the idea that people would want to make this up and then sort of commit social suicide, including. So there was one. So I really recommend watching the Netflix series called Encounters, which has come from the Spielberg Amblin studio. And they just really interestingly tell these different stories with lots of really well put together reconstruction and that kind of stuff. And there was an academic, a psychiatrist, I think, called Dr. Mac John, which is a strange name. He's not called John Mac. He's Dr. Mac John. A renowned psychiatrist who won Pulitzer Prizes and was a professor at Harvard University. And there was a particularly unusual sighting of a UFO and beings coming out of it at a school in Zimbabwe. And he'd already had a reputation for taking people seriously. And he, because even in America, he would meet people who said they'd been abducted by aliens. And he said, they're not making it up. And Harvard said, well, they obviously are. So you've gone mad and we're going to take away your chair, your professorship. And he said, but I'm a psychiatrist. I know that they believe it. I can tell. I'm really good at this. And so people have already prejudged the fact, well, these people must be lying. And he's saying, well, scientifically, I'm saying they're not lying.
Yeah.
So what are we to make of it?
Yeah.
And so they are. And so I think you can believe people that they've experienced these things without necessarily having some great big scheme. And I think that's one of the problems, is that we're trying to look for one silver bullet solution that explains absolutely everything. And we're not going to get that. And I think that's one of the big dangers of this world, which is why after this podcast, I probably need to stop reading and listening to podcasts about it. And is because you start to think that you've got this one thing explains everything in the world. It becomes a complete explanation for all cosmic, spiritual, earthly reality. It's the ultimate red pill.
The singularity.
Yeah, and a lot of this, from a Christian point of view, is coming from a premillennial perspective as well. It's interesting that on the, particularly on the Blurry Creatures podcast, which is one of the ones that I've listened to, which originally started out as a Bigfoot podcast, which is in itself a related phenomenon. Almost every single guest they have who talks about it from a particularly Christian perspective are assuming a premillennial view and start pointing out bits of revelation that must be related to this and what's going on. And you just think, no, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, I have a fairly convinced postmillennial view. But I think once you go down that rabbit hole, you start to say this explains everything. So I think those are the dangers of, like, we're looking for something that explains everything. But when people go down this rabbit hole and just think this explains everything, I really don't think it does.
Interesting. And yet there is a lot of commonality, isn't there?
Yeah.
Between a lot of these, which rather tends to point towards the idea that there is a sort of a single explanation, perhaps, for a lot of what is being perceived.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of it, of course, but yeah. Just wanted to, before we move on, I wanted to mention the fact that if you look at a heat map of the kind of sightings that have happened in the US, they do seem to congregate around US military bases and US nuclear power stations.
Hmm.
So one of the theories that's emerged relating to this is that actually these are not visitors from so much from billions of miles away. They're actually beings from inside the planet, or at least hidden on the planet somewhere, who are getting a bit antsy about the fact that we're messing around bouncing atoms into each other and splitting them, and that is no longer just a threat to us, but it's also a threat to them. And so they put their heads above the parapet and they're appearing in order to try and sort of stop this stuff from happening. But again, to me, that doesn't seem to, it's like, it, given that the communication from these beings to human beings seems to be, I don't know, you'd think that there would be a much more urgent message about nuclear power coming through if that was the fact. I'm not really hearing that in the stories of people who've been reporting this phenomenon. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that as one of the possible hypotheses that's been put out there.
Here's the thing about the US military. I think, though, that there are some real problems with the way I think it's portrayed. It's always portrayed as this one monolith, megalith, that the US military knows what's really going on. And therefore, these lights in the sky, these aerial phenomena around military bases and nuclear bases as well, and they've apparently reprogrammed nuclear codes and those sorts of things. Therefore, the American military must understand them. They're controlling them. But yet there's another story, which is the American military have no idea what's going on. And they can't control these things because they're reprogramming nuclear codes and have nearly caused a nuclear war.
Yeah.
So which is it?
Yeah.
And so, but my observation as a British person is the American military on its own is a country. It is a gigantic system, and there's just no way that there can be one view within this system. So, you know, I've met one or two American military personnel who've even looked at some of this thing. In fact, one or two of them are listeners to this show, and they've sort of been rather skeptical that the American military have been hiding stuff, to which some might say, oh, well, they would say that, wouldn't they? So, no, but I really think they don't think there's anything in it. But there are other places that probably do know a little bit more about what's going on. And can I give you my theory on this?
Yeah, I don't know whether, I think it's worth camping on that question of why, if the government is, because surely demonstrably the government have covered this stuff up over the last few decades, right?
But I think different administrations and different parts of the American military have covered up different things for different reasons.
Yeah, they've just covered up stuff that they don't Well, this is the question. Why have they covered it up? Why? And by they, I don't mean like they're all of one mind. I just mean the different branches. You know, why has that happened? And I think that's worth asking, because I think it, can perhaps lead us towards some light about what might be happening.
Well, one is that the military have to control the narrative.
Yeah.
If they can't control the narrative, they don't want anything to do with it. That's my experience of writing Bluestone 4-2 about bomb disposal in Afghanistan. We asked the army for information on this, and they said, we can have nothing to do with this. Unless you're going to give us editorial sign-off, we're not going to touch it with a barge pole.
Right.
And so, and that's because they just have to be, either they're in complete control of it, or they don't want anything to do with it. And I think there's an element of that going on.
I think the control thing, I think you put your finger on something there. I know you didn't mean to, but you did. And that is that I think there is a control thing here, not just in the military and the government and branches of government, but also in the branches of science in particular, I think is where we really, for me, we start to get closer to what might be happening. Because it's interesting that one of the theories which is put out about why this might have been suppressed is that actually, well, if this gets out, all the religious people are going to go nuts. Their whole worldview is going to be destroyed by this.
What do you mean? Explain what you mean by that.
Well, so the idea is that we've heard this from a number of circles. I think Dan Carlin on his podcast, you know, talked about this a bit. His idea was that if it is proven that we are being visited by aliens from another planet, that utterly destroys a religious worldview, meaning that the Bible doesn't, you know, accommodate that kind of stuff, is the argument.
Right.
And that therefore, if it becomes known that that's happening, well, what do you do with your belief in, you know, the fall and Jesus's atonement for people? Is it for them as well? Are they fallen beings? Are they, how come the creation account doesn't talk about
throw away your Bible? It's worthless. It doesn't explain
exactly.
This.
Yeah. That's the sort of narrative, isn't it, that you hear? And it, oh no, we can't let this get out because it's going to freak out all the religious people, and therefore it's a threat to the fabric of society. And I, you know, and it feels utterly weird to me, that idea, because it's like, well, since when have the government really cared that much about sort of religious people and their feelings?
Yeah.
Surely it's all about saying, no, look, there's a scientific explanation for everything. There's a naturalistic explanation for everything. Your religious belief is medieval superstition, nothing more. Yeah. And
side note, most Christian American president was probably Jimmy Carter. And he said he's seen a UAP.
Yeah.
So probably the most Christian of all the presidents, you know, right. I think in terms of like his own personal devotions and faith. And he says, yeah, seen one, don't know.
Yeah. So I don't, personally, I don't see how it would dismantle Christian faith. And that's why I think, yeah, as a reason for why this has been suppressed, that doesn't wash for me. I think much more likely, and here is where I think we're getting to the nub of it a bit, is that what's really under threat is not religious faith. It is non-religious faith. The faith that the universe can be explained and contained in purely naturalistic and materialistic terms. So there's been hundreds of years now of, you know, so-called enlightened scientific thinking about the way the universe works. And these kinds of phenomena that are being observed are disconcertingly inexplicable to materialists, strict materialists, and adherents of scientism. And so a much more likely explanation, I would say, to this kind of phenomena, maybe it doesn't cover everything, but certainly a lot of it, it is one that pretty much every culture has believed in throughout history, which is that there really are beings among us which are non-material, which are spiritual, but which can manifest themselves in physical ways, and their intent, and again, this is something across history, this is not just a Christian thing, and their intent is to deceive, and their ultimate hope is that we end up destroying ourselves because of their deception. So that would be, just cutting to the chase a little bit, I think that is a more likely explanation for what we're seeing. And it's one of the reasons why it is just freaking out people who don't have room in their worldview for stuff that cannot be analysed in a laboratory. When you watch the Skinwalker Ranch documentary, it is hilarious because every week it's just like more of the same. What? This is so weird. This is just impossible. How could this be happening?
Look at that in the sky.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
And every week it's the same. And admittedly, they do stretch things very thin. But there's no answers. It's just, weird stuff's happening. We're
going to start drilling into the mesa. Oh, just dynamite it. Why don't they put dynamite on the mesa and blow the thing sky high?
Yeah. It's the only way to be sure.
Yeah.
And they're spending more and more money on scientific equipment.
Bigger drilling equipment.
And trap things which are non-physical. It's like watching Ghostbusters trying to catch a ghost in one of those little metal boxes.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, this is never going to happen. Like, it makes for great viewing, but you're never, ever going to get to a point where you trap it in a box and you go, oh, okay, now we know what that is.
There is an owner of a heavy plant rental place somewhere in Utah who is on his knees thanking God every night for Skinwalker Ranch because all of the equipment that he owns has at some point been deployed to dig holes and poke, poke the supernatural forces.
You get the feeling that I forget the guy's name, but the owner, the sort of the wealthy, sort of shadowy billionaire owner. Right.
Mormon.
You know, it's very much like Jurassic Park type vibes with, that guy. Sort
eccentric
of
billionaire owns Ranch. You couldn't make it up.
Yeah, and he, of course, is exec producer on the show.
Yeah.
You just think, this is brilliant. He's just hit a gold mine. He doesn't really care what this stuff is, as long as they can just stretch it out for multiple seasons and people will watch. So, but to me, that is the reason, the most credible reason for suppressing this kind of stuff is that we're living in a world that simply does not have a category for this. The religious people are not going to get freaked out by this because they go, oh yeah, we believe in non-spiritual, in spiritual beings. That's a thing.
Yeah.
But if you're not, don't have room for that, you really have no way of explaining this stuff. And it's deeply, deeply disconcerting.
The thing I find most compelling about Skinwalker Ranch is actually not just the light orbs that are occasionally photographed, split second stuff and that kind of thing and freeze frame photography and all that kind of stuff. It is the failure of instruments, the consistent failure of we're just about to do it and it's shut down. We're just about to launch the thing and it's shut down again. And this guy's going,
I've never seen this happen before.
Yeah. I believe them. I believe them, It's sort of frustrating that the most supernatural thing that happens is the failure of a very, very sophisticated equipment.
Yes.
And then occasionally someone's phone just gets unlocked and starts going completely bananas. Is another thing that kind of happens. Even though you can't actually crack someone's phone, that doesn't...
It's not a thing.
And so a lot of weird stuff is happening and you think to what end? And then you just think, well, why can't we photograph it? And if you think, well, if it is real and sentient, then obviously it doesn't want to be photographed. So why do you think?
Yeah.
So the idea, there's that kind of sense of, well, we're open to it and we want to record it. It's like, yes, but you want to record it according to your own paradigms.
Yeah.
And if these are spiritual forces who don't want to be photographed, there's just no upside to them playing ball with you. So why would you think you could measure them like that? I mean, it's a little bit like a modern day version of asking Jesus for miracles. Don't do that. That doesn't go well. It's only the baddies who do that. Give us another sign.
Right. Yes, there is, and there is an element, isn't there, of, again, this long tradition, this long history of mischievous spirits. You know, we talked in another episode about fairies at one point. Mm. You know, that's another potential manifestation we've seen historically where people are like, no, this stuff really, it's really there, you know. And these are not the sort of fairies you see flying over, Disney World.
And Martin Luther totally believed in them, and because he's from a mining family, and down the mines, you just had goblins who would mess around with your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the deceptive element of this, and the, if you could call it, mischievousness of the stuff you see on Skinwalker Ranch, I think is also very interesting if you're trying to work up a hypothesis about what this actually is.
Yeah.
it's very interesting to me that if you look back at the kind of reports of UAPs over the last, well, over history, the manifestations of them, the appearance of, so go back to Victorian times and look at the sightings then, the craft, quote, that appeared kind of have a steampunk kind of vibe right. going on, appear, you know, aesthetically speaking. And then, of course, you get into the 50s and you get the classic American science fiction kind of manifestation of this stuff. And then you, in more recent times, you've got the sort of Dorito-shaped, you know, stealth, super high-tech looking set of lights.
Yeah, that was the one. So I watched Missing 411, the UFO connection. I've seen all three Missing 411 movies for this podcast. You. I mean, I wanted to anyway. Which is that he's David Paulides is the Missing 411 guy who's got a YouTube channel where he is, I would say, obsessed with why people vanish in national parks in America.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which they do with alarming regularity.
Yeah. But just to finish that thought then, you know, why is it that these manifestations seem to change with our culture? It's as if they are putting on, whatever they are, it is, putting on a kind of a culturally acceptable mask, which is kind of receivable by the culture that it's appearing to. Another manifestation of this is the kind of backstory that you routinely hear when these beings do actually communicate with people. And again, I mean, we're taking this in good faith and assuming that many of the reports are credible. People talk about, you know, that these beings used, when they were asked where they're from, they would say, oh, from the dark side of the moon, or something like, not the Pink Floyd album, the actual literal dark side of the moon. And then, of course, we landed on the moon and we thought, no, that's not credible. So what happens then? Well, interestingly, the backstory started changing. Mm. So they would say, where are you from? And people would say, oh, we're from Venus. And then, of course, we realized that actually Venus is surely completely uninhabitable. And now the story that we're getting is, oh, we're from, you know, what is it? Zeta Reticuli
or Andromeda distant,
impossible to reach galaxy. So again, that makes me that sets off my alarms about what actually is going on here. It feels like there's something fundamentally deceptive, that what is the face that is being projected and the backstory that's being described to people is not actually true. There's whatever this entity is or these entities are, they are deceptive and they're intending to deceive, I would say.
Yeah. And I think the Cultish podcast have been really good on this stuff as well, because I've been listening to that podcast for a fair number of years, and they were doing episodes on this occasionally, but particularly related to once people have an experience like this where they are, you know, intrigued / deceived, it haunts them for a long time.
Yeah, and then suddenly it really wrecks people.
And then sometimes there's that desire to get back in touch with them.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of so-called ways that you can do that, which involves some form of, what is it called, DMT or something? What are they?
Like a sort of an astral projection type thing. Yeah. So if you go on the again, James and I have done this kind of thing so that you don't have to, but I went on the
subreddit. We have not astrally projected so that you don't have to,
we have looked into it.
Yeah.
There have definitely been times when we've wanted to beam ourselves out of our own podcast, but we've never done that yet. This was on the subreddit called Experiencers, because of course they're called experiencers now, people who have witnessed these things. Mm. There's a whole sort of genre within that where people are describing what you need to do if you want to see these lights in the sky, if you want to witness these phenomena. They are summonable. So it's not as if they are sort of completely autonomous. They decide when they turn up. Apparently, you know, the received wisdom is now you can go out, you can sort of beckon them in, as it were, and they will appear to you. So again, that sort of sets off a bit of an alarm for me. I'm thinking, well, maybe, again, that seems to have a lot in common with the kind of stuff that we've heard about previously, where people talk about you know, Ouija boards and stuff. There's a sort of a spiritual dimension to it. You can communicate with your mind. You can sort of, as it were, pray to these beings and say, I invite you in, and they will show themselves to you, which again is concerning, I would say.
It really is. And therefore, you know, there's a huge resurgence in psychedelic drug use. It's being heavily promoted. And a lot of it, I think, is from, you know, and I think the likes of kind of Joe Rogan and people like that have talked about this stuff and are fairly positive about it. But it is interesting the effect it starts having on people. And I know someone who used to use this stuff before they became a Christian, and then they became a Christian and stopped using it. But they had some extremely unpleasant nighttime visitations from what they perceived to be creatures.
It follows you home.
I totally believe, unfortunately, I can't ask him because he's sadly no longer with us, but he is gone to be with the Lord. And so I guess he's going to find out. It feels like it's quite a common experience that once you've done it once, twice, three times, by about the fourth, fifth, sixth time, people just say, hey, you know that Jesus, he was one of us. It's exactly. Like, oh, wow, that's weird. I wasn't even thinking about Jesus, but that's kind of odd. And it kind of has that addictive, self-destructive quality that once you're going down there, it's actually very hard to stop.
Yes.
It's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And you've touched on something there, which is, again, the sort of surprising commonality of the messaging that people are getting from whatever these entities are. One of them is, hey, yeah, as you said, Jesus was one of us. He was just a highly evolved, you know, alien. The other thing that seems to come up a lot is this kind of quasi-environmental kind of religion that is, and it's a universalist religion. Where they'll say, yeah, just so you know, obviously we're super advanced beings, but we'll tell you this, that actually all your religions lead to the same place, that all religions are equally good and equally valid. They worship the same God. We're here to tell you that's the reality of it. And by the way, you know, Jesus was one of us. So again, if your working hypothesis is that these are deceitful spiritual beings, that kind of fits, doesn't it? That fits the modus operandi, that you're basically telling people, you're lying to people in ways that would lead to their spiritual destruction.
Yeah.
Which is really concerning. And again, I've heard that people who've had these entities appear in their rooms, interestingly, again, people who invoke the name of Jesus Christ at that point, these beings apparently instantaneously disappear when that happens.
Yeah.
So again, interesting.
Yeah.
Just words. Oh, good words. That's where ideas begin. Maybe you should listen to them.
That Encounters episode I mentioned, the Zimbabwean experience, some said that they felt the creatures saying to them, you're ruining the planet, you're damaging the planet.
Right.
There's an emergency, climate emergency or whatever. And this is back in the 80s, I think. This is quite some time ago. You know, the Gaia movement was in full swing. And So, the message is always positive. The messages are never come with me to the dark side. That's not. And the angels of light are to be questioned. And of course, there is a very successful offshoot of Christianity called Mormonism, where Joseph Smith saw an angel of light. That's interesting, isn't it?
Seems legit.
I wonder wonder what angel of light that could possibly have been. So we just mustn't be naive about what these things are. And I'm fairly satisfied that this is a fairly big diabolical play for distraction and taking people down a particular route. But annoyingly, there's still more to it than that. Well, you know, why are people experiencing alien abductions and all those kinds of horrible things? I've got theories on that, but maybe that's one for the Patreons.
Yeah, the abductions thing is, well, it is interesting that CE5s, as they're called on my favorite subreddit, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, is basically the idea that you actually go on board the ship and you sort of interact and, you know, all the rest of it. A lot of those, and there are an extraordinary number of people reporting abductions. And this is a very, like a hugely well-documented area. And again, lots of commonality in terms of what people report during these abductions, like sort of various things being done to them. This is a family show, so we won't go into it. But lots of commonality where people are really harmed, like profoundly emotionally, psychologically damaged by this. And it just, again, it seems like a lot of the things that are being talked about, it sounds a lot like the way that maybe a previous generation would have talked about as having the hallmarks of, sounds like possession, sounds like demonic possession.
Mm. Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on abduction and things like that?
I think I was quite persuaded about how much we know and how much we don't know, I think.
Yeah.
And so I heard, I think it was a Blurry Creatures one. And for reference, I'm a Haunted Cosmos guy. So that's a much more recent.
It's a good show.
Good show. Two reformed guys, really thoughtful, enthusiastic, interested, speculative, of course, but they know when they're being speculative. I think they're very theologically responsible. And I really like it very much. And they're not saying everything is demons and all that kind of stuff. But at the same point, they are just saying, well, if we think that this can't possibly being demonic, then we're being totally naive about it.
Yeah.
But the Blurry Creatures podcast, they've done more of them. They've talked. It's got a much bigger fringe to it. And so I have found that interesting. I've not listened to all 200 episodes or whatever, but I have listened to probably 20 or 30. And there's people they keep going back to who really live in this world. And they are Christians. And I have absolutely no reason to doubt their Christian conviction. And they say, sure, we can go down the road to say it's demons. And I'm not saying it's... And they say, and I'm not saying it's not demonic and all that kind of stuff. But people are experiencing so many common things and seeing, for example, they say, three different types of alien. You've got the Greys... You've got the Nordics, I think they're called.
The Scandies, yes, that's right.
And the reptilians, okay? Mm. And so anybody my age and British, when they're thinking about reptilians, you're just thinking, oh my goodness, this is the David Icke territory. You think that
it's
we're
like
being run by blood-sucking lizard people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, I'm pretty ambivalent about all those things, partly because... What I believe as a Christian, if I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, has already got some incredibly weird things in it. So the don't want to sound crazy ship sailed pretty much on the eighth day when potentially was the day when a snake talked to Eve. Okay, so let's not worry about how crazy this looks. But I think what this guy said was the fact that if you just say it's demons, that doesn't fully explain the detail and the strangeness and all of the things that people are consistently documenting and experiencing.
Right.
There is more going on than that. And these people are often really heavily obsessed with Nephilim and Rephaim and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And would say that there is something much more going on about mixing species and all those sorts of things, which, you know, really does sound kind of crazy, but I mean, there is stuff like that in the Bible, so let's treat it with some dignity and respect. Yeah, so I think if we as Christians just go, we know what this is a demonic distraction.
Hmm.
I think that is broadly speaking true, but it isn't as explanatory as we might think it is.
Yeah.
But that is certainly a good reason not to go looking for this kind of thing. Which is pretty much the base camp of what we can achieve in one podcast, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
He didn't fall! Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Maybe this is another good question to ask. Why is this so appealing to people, do you think? What is it about this whole thing that really captures people's imaginations? Why is it that it is a rabbit hole for people? Why is it so compelling?
I think my theory on this is that it is interesting, it is sort of supernatural, it kind of takes us out of the everyday, so it fulfills that yearning that we have. But it has the added advantage of making no moral demands on you.
Yes.
So you can believe in this stuff. You can even say you're a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. You can do astral projection and those sorts of things. But this isn't telling you that you should spend more time honoring your mum. It doesn't, it doesn't say that you have someone that you need to forgive. It doesn't tell you that you should probably volunteer more and help people. It doesn't tell you that you should stop lying.
And I
think it gives people that kind of foretaste of the supernatural, but it is ultimately well, to use it in its really grim sense, it's kind of the Kool-Aid, isn't it? This is a this is a death cult, which if you go down that road, it's only going to lead you away from Christ. And as I've said on this podcast once or twice before, that's the thing that the cultish podcasts are particularly good at. Is this really big obsession leading you towards Christ, or is it leading you away from Christ? Yes. This is leading you away from Christ, therefore don't go looking for it. Don't be surprised if you see lights in the sky, but don't invite them in and don't ask to do it again. And don't take DMT in order to experience whatever that was on another occasion, because you are giving permission for spiritual forces, and that is very unwise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess it's the Gnostic temptation is still big, isn't it, in human nature.
Yeah.
We love to feel that we've been made privy to knowledge, information that a lot of other people don't have. And that in itself makes us feel special in a world which we're being told constantly, you're not special, you're just overdeveloped pond scum. I think it's very, very attractive, that.
And of course, we're not Gnostics, but do join us on Patreon and then we'll say what we really think. But that's not for the wider audience.
I guess the other thing is the temptation is all the more seductive in a Darwinian worldview, and also one where you believe that the biggest existential threat is climate change. It's so imperative for survival. Really, our only hope is to speak to a more highly evolved being who can tell us how to dig us out of this particular hole. But again, of course, there's no moral, as you've said, there's no moral demands being made. It's just simply sort of here's how you save yourself. And of course, again, that draws one away from Christ, because if these guys are going to save you, you don't need Jesus to do it. So I think that is very appealing as well.
Yeah.
Is it possible there are actually aliens out there, James? What do you think? Or is it something a lot, explicable in other ways?
What do you mean?
All right, let me put it this way. Do you think there are beings, intelligent beings, who live on other planets and other parts of the universe?
No. I don't think there are.
Yeah.
And even if there are, so any scientist will tell you just the extraordinary implausibility of there being life on Earth. And even if you believe that there are hundreds of billions of stars in every galaxy with planets, you would still say the odds are still that this is the only place where there is actual life. But the idea that something has evolved, created technology and come here,
and then crashed into the Earth repeatedly.
Yeah, I find all those things.
With its advanced technology.
I mean, I find all those things really silly.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I say this as someone who's happy to say amen to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you just think, well, within the context of the Bible, Genesis 6 and the Nephilim and the sons of God and all those sorts of things, that makes some kind of sense. But the idea that these beings have evolved and that they're sort of, in one sense, ape-like, so they're animals, but they are intelligent animals and more intelligent than us, and therefore they don't have souls, they do have souls. I don't find that a particularly fruitful or compelling place to go or investigate. Did Jesus die for them too? I don't know. I don't think they exist. I think this is a spiritual thing. I don't think this is another species thing. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I can see why it's appealing, because if your view is that you believe in a Darwinian universe, basically you've just got on a long enough timeline, anything can come into being. So I can understand why people think, well, because we know the universe is ever expanding. It's just so surely just the odds tell you that there must be life out there. But that assumes you've swallowed hook, line and sinker the Darwinian view that on a long enough timeline, something can just happen. That's the virgin birth of the cosmos kind of miracle that is believed in. I just don't find that sort of reasoning credible. That's not to dunk on microevolution at all, but macroevolution I have much bigger issue with. But I think it's particularly appealing to this generation, that idea. There must be life out there because we know that evolution happens.
Yeah. And I think my other final thought on this, particularly for Christians who you know, overeducated Western Christians who are still enthralled to the academy and to science and all those sorts of things. I think if you read the Bible and you live your life, you have to admit that the universe is a lot weirder than you thought it was in ways that you can't explain and are not being asked to explain. Weird things happen in the Bible. You know, really weird things. The sun stays in the sky until that battle is finished based on his arms being held up. Is it Moses or Joshua? I can't quite remember. Modern day thing. People have premonitions about things. And you think, well, what is that? Why has that happened? I don't know. Were they making it up? No. Are they statistically, well, people have premonitions that don't come true. So statistically, there are just very, very strange things that happen. And I think, I think God has wired us and the fabric of reality in a slightly quirkier and stranger way than we're prepared to accept or admit. And so therefore we don't really need to be limited by the grindingly scientifically rational. And so therefore I think weird things can happen that don't require demonic explanation because the world is stranger and more delightful and strange. And there are angels as well as demons, and there are spiritual beings and as well as the principalities and powers. So I think we should just be a little bit humbler and have a greater sense of wonder at the world that God has made and what he's made us to be and the kind of the connectedness between people, like the idea that you can sort of tell when you're being watched. You know, you're not usually wrong about those sorts of things. And there's no, it's no sort of biological, physiological reason for knowing that. And yet there are these strange things. And so that will take us on to, in the Patreon section, about how Stranger Things is actually real. But I'll get to that on the other side.
Well, I think that's that solved then. Thank you for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. And if you want to join Patreon, follow the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com. Just do a search for Patreon, Cooper and Carey. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts and you want to hear more of this kind of stuff, then you just got to hit the subscribe button. Yep. And that will immediately usher you into a glorious, entirely speculative world, which we're about to enter into, James and I. So,
and if you join us on Patreon, we are going to, in the new year, have a UAP UFO Zoom
symposium
chat, Patreon only symposium where we ask each other, so what do you think? And we'll all do our Travis impersonations from the Curse of Skinwalker Ranch, and that'll be a fun thing to do. So anyway, join us on Patreon for that.
If you want to email us otherwise, just send your missives to Cooper and Carey, Carry, @gmail.com, and we will read those and who knows, possibly respond. We can't respond to everyone, but we do read everyone, and sometimes things end up on the show from those as well. So yeah, do feel free to let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening, everyone. Cheery bye.
Thanks. Cheerio.
Cooper and Carey have